Welcome back to the Hypercentage Podcast, and today we're talking about the most dangerous time in a competition match. I want to start by saying if you're new to HypercentageMartialArts.com or you're new to this podcast, welcome. Thank you so much for listening, and this is the site and the podcast where we take a look at the science, the data, and the game theory behind Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and submission grappling. I haven't told this story in a while, but because I haven't told in a while, maybe I'll just try to recap the short version here. But the idea for HyperCentage.com got started. I used to be a data analyst. I worked in higher education, and we did a lot of studies on leading indicators of students and whether they would finish their first year of college, where they would graduate on time. So I got really used to that kind of mentality of hunting for those little nuggets that would make someone 5 to 10% more likely to do something and take an action. And of course, I was training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the time, and when I would look for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu statistics, there really were none. The only statistics that existed were kind of high-level statistics about what black belts were using to win ADCC or something like that. But you know, when you're a new student, a white and a blue belt, that's not necessarily what you need. That's not the most helpful thing. They're using techniques and tactics that maybe you're not ready for yet. And I just realized that there were no sort of beginner level basic statistics on success rates. And everyone would always use this term high percentage. This is high percentage. That's high percentage. And sometimes I'd kind of squint and be like, is it though? Really? Like, how do we know that your reverse go-go plata is high percentage? Because you just got me with it in sparring. I don't know. Is that the best criteria? And of course, you know, the story kind of writes itself from there. I started thinking about, how we could gather basic statistics. And I was like, well, it really wouldn't be that hard. Of course, I was wrong. There's a difference between easy and simple. And it is fairly simple to gather this, but it's not easy because it takes a tremendous amount of time. But over time, we were able to sort of work our way around that. We started, you know, hiring people basically to help me kind of slog through all these matches. And we started building the site, and I'm really proud of what we have now. Speaking of which, there is a new article on the site. This is one of our really big ones. We just watched 500 matches, all belt levels, gi, no gi. And we mapped out all the submissions, what they were. We timestamped them all, and we did sort of a big write-up on it. And there's going to be a couple more write-ups with some data that, we still have and we're still parsing through with that. So I'm really excited about that. I shared it on Reddit. It was very popular. If you're listening to this podcast, because you saw that, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. Reddit is such a great, community, and I'm really respectful of sharing stuff on Reddit because I know that y'all's bullshit sensor is, really finely tuned, so I'm always just conservative about doing that because I don't want to bombard people with our content, because obviously I'd love for you to go to our site and check out what we have, but I'm also aware that I need to propose something of value and have something useful. So if you're here because of that, thank you. Last two things before we get started. One, I'm going to reorganize some of the categories on the website because there's a lot of articles now, and I think it's maybe not super easy for someone that is trying to discover articles to do that. So I'm going to break everything down into kind of simpler categories of just like research, game theory, and everything else or something like that. I haven't quite narrowed down what it's going to be, but look for that soon. Also, it might be a while before I do this, but an idea I had, and I'm open to feedback from the community on it, is doing profiles of some of the big teams in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the idea is this. You watch, 100 matches, whatever it needs to be. Let's say 100 matches, but you only look at athletes from a top team. I'm talking, Gracie Baja, Atos, 10th Planet, those kinds of teams. And you compile a profile of what are sort of the traits and characteristics of those teams, what kind of guard positions they use. Obviously, the submissions, we could probably get kind of granular. And then the other thing I was thinking is, well, who do you want to do? Only black belts, black and brown. I'm kind of leaning right now towards purple, brown, and black because I think those are, going to be the top competitors. And also, I would think that purple, brown, and black, that's enough time for like the team identity to kind of seep in. And it's possible that we'll do this and we'll find that all teams are kind of using the same style of jiu-jitsu. But to mitigate that, I thought I would start with 10th Planet, because if there's one team out there that has sort of a unique set of positions and submissions that they favor, it would be that one. So that's an idea I had, and I'd like to start soon, and maybe even on the next live stream that we do on social media, just pull up a blank spreadsheet and start messing around with what it would look like, and you can kind of weigh in real time as I do it. Especially because as I record this, the big kind of fall tournament season is about to start, and that could be not just interesting, but it could kind of be useful. I know that a lot of times people, you know, they want to do research when they go to I live in Northern California, so you go to the BJJ Tour circuit up here, you know you're going to be against, you know, Claudio Franca, Checkmat, and, you know, Aries are some of the big three out here, so maybe having some of that information could be useful to coaches or other competitors. Okay, let's talk submission times. When we originally started this last big project, the idea was to timestamp all the submissions and figure out when submissions happen, and if there are certain submissions that tend to happen earlier than later. Now, as it evolved, we still got this data, but a lot of it just became about the actual submissions themselves. And because we recorded all the belt levels, it became sort of a study in like, okay, are the different belts using different submissions? And although I'll talk about this in another episode, they are not. They're largely using the same submissions. And then we also talked about, okay, well, are gi and no gi submissions the same? They are not. They're actually fairly different, although the top three or four are the same, which is, you know, the big three, the RNC, the armbar, and the triangle. But one thing that I wanted to talk about was the actual time factor. So here's some interesting piece of data that you can think about. Okay, so first is the biggest question. What is the average submission time of all these submissions? So across 500 submissions, if you average out all of their timestamps, they come in at, here's the magic number, it's basically 2 minutes. And what's impressive to me about this is how when you switch out different variables, it's basically always 2 minutes. So all the submissions averaged at 1 minute and 58 seconds. So let's call that 2 minutes. If you look at just the gi matches, they averaged at 2 minutes and 1 second. So a couple seconds higher than the overall average. If you just look at the no gi matches, they were 1 minute and 56 seconds. So just a few seconds shorter. So really, no matter what way you slice it, 2 minutes is kind of the magic number as far as when most submissions are likely to occur in matches. Now, an interesting thing is when you break down the average submission times by belt level, and I'm going to go to a sponsor read, but before I do that, I'm going to leave you with a question, which is, think about it right now. In your opinion, of the five belt levels, which belt submits matches the fastest, in your opinion, and what belt level has the longest submissions times on average? Does that make sense? So who's submitting the fastest, who's submitting the slowest? Slowest is kind of a pejorative sounding word, but, you know, who's taking longer, I guess. Okay, I'll tell you the answer when we get back. Okay, so what belt level was submitting people on average the fastest? Well, it's sort of a trick question. It was a tie between blue and purple belts. They both tied for 1 minute and 53 seconds on average. I tried to kind of default, like, what are some tiebreaker criterias? At first, I was like, okay, well, which group finished more matches in under a minute? But it was the same. They both finished 20 matches in under a minute. Technically, purple belts finished more matches in under 2 minutes than blue belts. So I guess if by that criteria, you could say, you know, that purple belts are slightly faster, but, you know, blues and purples were the fastest group. What was the slowest? It was actually black belts. Their average submission time clocked in at 2 minutes and 7 seconds. So how do we explain this? Well, the way I would explain it, and to be clear, if you would have asked me the same question and I wouldn't have known the data, I probably wouldn't have said that. So it's one of those, it only makes sense after you know the right answer, and then you're like, oh, well, of course it makes sense. But, you know, with black belts, they're very good. They're at the high levels of the art. So that does make sense to me that it would take them longer to submit each other because the skill gap is smaller. With blue and purples, especially with blues, that absolutely makes sense to me because I think blue belt in particular is, you know, the thickest belt. There's some people that have been training, you know, 1 year and they're a blue belt, and there's other people that have been training 5-6 years and they're blue belts. So it makes sense that there's a big skill gap there. And just from, you know, being in a lot of tournaments, a lot of people get starched at blue belts, and there's a lot of quick finishes, and the same with purple belt too. The other interesting dimension to think about this is in terms of submissions. And this is something that I was very curious about. Are there some submissions that are deserve their reputation as quick finishers, and are there other ones that are kind of slow cookers? And the answer is, yeah, there sort of is. So the submissions that were happening on average the fastest were leg locks. The fastest submissions were ankle slash foot locks, and we combined ankle and foot locks. I know that they are technically different things, but when you're watching these matches, it's essentially impossible to distinguish which was which. So we sort of molded them into one, and they clocked in at the fastest with an average of 1 minute and 38 seconds. Trailing right behind them was the knee bar at 1 minute and 42 seconds. The toe holds took 1 minute and 53 seconds. So those were some of the fastest submissions, just those, that kind of leg lock family. As far as the longest submissions, believe it or not, it was the Kimura. The Kimura on average clocked in at 2 minutes and 13 seconds, and we had quite a bit of Kimuras to pull from. Also of note was the Ezekiel choke, and I guess that makes some sense because that's typically performed from mount. But take that with a grain of salt, because we only observed 9 Ezekiel chokes. So those averages are, you know, we'd want more numbers to have more confidence in that. But Kimuras, Ezekiel chokes, and then everything else was sort of floating right around the 2 minute mark. The bone arrow choke, 2 minutes and 11 seconds. The collar choke, 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Guillotine, that was actually pretty fast, 1 minute 47 seconds. That makes some sense too, right? A common standing attack. Heel hooks even, 1 minute 57 seconds. Another interesting factoid, and I don't know what this means, but it's just worth pointing out, is the triangle. Although on average it was closer to 2 minutes, in fact I think it was like exactly at 2 minutes, the triangle choke had the greatest number of submissions finished within a minute. I think it had, here, let me check. It had 15 submissions happen in under 60 seconds. It actually had 3 submissions in under 30 seconds. That was the triangle. And on the other end of the spectrum, it won the award for the submission with the longest timestamp, which is someone scored a triangle at 5 minutes and 23 seconds into a match, which tells me it was probably an advanced division, like a black belt division. So maybe the triangle gets points for being one of the most versatile submissions, but, you know, a triangle in 30 seconds is pretty impressive. I'd love to go click on those URLs and watch those matches. Okay, so now we get to what is, to me, and I think to most people, one of the most interesting pieces of data when it comes to the times, which is that virtually no matches were finished by submission after the 4 minute mark. So in 500 matches, only 6 ended with a submission after the 4 minute mark. Now, 3 of those 6 were in the black belt divisions. 2 of those 6 were in purple belts, and 1 of those 6 was in the blue belt division. We didn't see any of the 100 brown belts that we observed finish a submission after 4 minutes. And we didn't see any white belts finish a submission after 4 minutes. Now, of course, we understand it happens, right? People submit after the 4 minute mark, probably very commonly, in terms of, well, maybe not very commonly, but it does happen. So we're not saying that. We're just saying that 500 matches is a pretty good sample size, 100 at each belt level. And the fact that we didn't observe it is notable. And actually, the 4 minute thing is kind of arbitrary. The larger message to take away is that when submissions happen, they're going to happen fairly early. If you look at matches in the 3 to 4 minute mark, or submissions that happened within the 3 to 4 minute mark, they were very small as well. In fact, we went back and looked at it. So 85.8% of all the submissions happened in under 3 minutes. And that's the big takeaway. So we did a study with white belts only. This is a couple weeks back, month back, something like that. And we found that 85% of all matches ended within like 2 minutes, or submissions happened within 2 minutes. I don't want to confuse matches and submissions, by the way. These are submissions and when they happened, not matches and when they ended, right? Now that we've done it with all the belt levels, 85% of all the submissions happened within 3 minutes. So let's get to the big takeaways. Now that we are armed with this information, how should it affect the way that we train, the way that we compete, or maybe the way that we think about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Well, this to me brings up something that I think a lot about because my background originally was in a very conservative kind of old school mentality of jiu-jitsu that was very defense heavy, and it was you know, Elio Gracie waiting people out and, you know, coming with a submission after they got tired. But then after that, I ended up training at more progressive schools. I trained at 10th Planet for a while, and they have a different mentality, which is, you know, attack, be offensive, go out and score submissions. And I'm not saying that one is right or wrong. I think they're both really important and valuable, and you need both at different times in your training. And I also recognize that not everyone competes. But if you are going to compete, this really supports what we've talked about on the podcast before, which is you need to be offensive if you want to win. The notion of waiting your opponent out until they get tired and then turning on the offense and attacking, we don't have a whole lot of data, if any, to support that that's an effective tournament strategy. It might be an effective gym strategy or a self-defense strategy. In fact, we have evidence to show that it is an effective self-defense strategy, and I have other podcast episodes you can check out with that. But if you're talking about a 5-minute tournament against an athlete who is probably about an equal skill level or equal-ish skill level to you, what we've seen is that typically they have the cardio to go the distance. And if they do not have the cardio and they get tired, you will probably get tired too in the course of a match defending. So your best time window that you have for scoring a submission victory is going to be early. It's going to be within those 3 minutes. After that, your odds of being able to submit someone statistically just take a dive. They plummet. So prioritize your offense early. And if a match has gone on too long, then it's really time to start switching to the positional game and knowing that that's your best chance of victory coming up on the points. We've also have data on high percentage showing that submissions in general, depending on your belt level, especially white belt, they tend to not be successful. Most submissions fail at the white belt level, which promotes a positional game. And this goes even doubly so if, 3 minutes or more have elapsed in a match, then the name of the game should probably be, you know, sweeping, getting on top, securing your position, and trying to win. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I am really committed to putting out content every week for the foreseeable future. I know we were a little bit light on the content for a while because we were focusing a lot of stuff with our BJJ Game Theory course with Gold Online, which I think has been successful and we've been happy with, but I'm looking forward to getting back to putting regular content on the site. My goal for the rest of the month is to do 2 articles a week, at least. So there'll be some other stuff coming up next week. We got a lot of really exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. Things I want to start transitioning to is some more specific kind of no-gi stuff, maybe some leg lock stuff. And then, like I said, the team study is something that really intrigues me. But if you have an idea for something that you would like to see on the podcast or on the articles on the site, you know, you can please contact me at any time. We are on Instagram, High Percentage Martial Arts. We have a Facebook page, same name, and you can even email me directly. There's the little mail icon at highpercentagemartialarts.com. Until then, I hope everyone has a great week. Keep training, and we'll see you next week on the podcast. Bye.